If you'll take your Bibles this evening, and if you'll turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, we're going to take a simple thought and a simple text there this evening. So the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you saved and blessed?
Amen.
Amen. Are you happy about it?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I am too. And when I look at the world around us today, I think about how good God has been to us and how we have been blessed. And folks, I'm telling you that we live in a time that Jesus himself would come. It'd be a time like the days of Noah, where there'd be a lot of people that were reprobate, a lot of people that were mean and evil and mocking the preaching of the Word of God and wicked, as it were. And it's not as bad as it was yet in the days of Noah. But I tell you, we live in a really, really difficult time. And if you're not careful, you'll take your eyes off of the cross of Calvary, and you'll take your eyes off what Jesus has done for us, and we'll look at the world around us today, and we'll say, wow, what a mess we're in. How will we ever get out of this? But I want to read you a couple of scriptures tonight, and I want to bring you a very positive thought. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, it's a beautiful chapter of the Word of God, but I want to read just two verses, and this is the 9th verse and the 10th verse. And Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he wrote this. He says, but as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And would you pray with me this evening? Lord, I thank you for the privilege to stand here, Lord, in this place with this very simple message. And God, I pray that they won't hear a thing I say tonight, but I pray that they'll hear everything that you would want to say to them. Lord, speak to us through your word. Speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to just understand what great love looks like. You gave it to us upon the cross of Calvary. You gave it to us, Lord, on the day that you accepted us as your child, and we became saved and had eternal life. Lord, I thank you give us great love every day. Let us focus on that tonight. These things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. Now, I want you to understand that when Paul was writing these words to a little church in Corinth, it was a little church among a whole bunch of people that lived in a really bad time. Now, I know that sometimes we look at our own situation and we recognize that we're in a vast minority as far as the children of God and the New Testament church in the world around us today. 7 billion people on the face of this earth, quite frankly, most of them don't serve God. Most of them have never been saved, and the greatest evangelistic work that we'll ever have is just outside these doors. We go to Salvation Army, we go to the jail ministry, we have Vacation Bible School, we go out and we knock on doors and invite people to come in, and the world outside of us, for the vast majority, and I'm not judging of them, but they have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ that lines up with the Word of God. And yet, when we look at our own self and look at our circumstances, if we're not careful, we will forget how much God loves us on a day-to-day basis. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would come unto him might be saved and might have eternal life. Paraphrasing there. And when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he was writing to a people who were in a very difficult circumstance, and he was telling them about the goodness of God's love and the depth, as it were. So you begin to look at these scriptures, and Paul is giving them a dissertation, and he encourages them by saying this. It's written, and he was talking about Isaiah, that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, the circumstance of this writing was to a people that lived in a wicked place. I want to remind you today that there have been a lot of people who've lived in wicked places. And in fact, this world is going to get darker and darker before Jesus comes. And then Jesus will come back 7 years later, and he will restore order. And the Bible tells us that for 1,000 years, a millennial reign, he'll be everything to this world. And Brother Gary, what happens at the end of that 1,000 years? People go back to the way they were. They still want to rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ. I said all that to say this. God has always shown his love towards the individual, not to the nation. And when we look around at the world today, just as the church did at Corinth, you see a lot of people who aren't serving God, and you see a bunch of people that God loves as his children. God cares for the individuals, not the nations. And I would tell you this evening, if you stop and think about it, three times God himself has disrupted the entirety of humanity. Once in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned willfully and God had to put him out. And there was Adam and Eve, and he had to disturb them, as it were. The Bible tells us that in the days of Noah, he sent destruction, and after 120 years of preaching, he came and he destroyed the earth with water. And the Bible tells us that only Noah and his family were rescued because of their faith from that. The third time I would say that God disrupted society is at the Tower of Babel, when he sent the confusion upon people. He scattered them across the earth. So, Brother Ralph, it's not beyond God to reach down and disturb the nations. But what he really wants to do is save the individual's heart. The nations are going to go the way they're going to go, Brother Wayne, to a certain degree. But he wants people to be saved. And he was reminding these people at the church at Corinth, that the world around them might be wicked. But all of those who would come unto him, all of those who would be saved, those whosoever's, all that would can have a personal relationship with God that involves great comfort, even in the most difficult circumstances, and great peace. The people here in Corinth, they were looking at a world around them that was maybe very different than we would imagine, but it was a world that was filled with idolatry. The Bible tells us in the chapters here in the Word of God that they were a people who were different from those that were around them. Most of the church at Corinth that was founded upon the Romans, most of these people were Greeks. Is it any wonder that Paul addressed that specifically, talking about how the Greeks seek a sign when he wrote this beautiful book in the Bible? If you look at the city of Corinth around them, they were very prosperous. And you know, that is one thing we got to say in the world around us today, is that when prosperity comes into a person's life, it will often challenge their spirituality. How many times did we hear Brother Jack say over the years, we're not near as spiritual as we let on? Some of that is we've forgotten what God has brought us from. Some of that we've forgotten what God has saved us from. Some of that is we've just gotten to the point where we don't love God the way that we used to and the way that we should. But Paul spoke to these people, and he reminded them that even though they were in difficult circumstances and surrounded by wickedness, they could be a testimony. They could have a life that was pleasing unto God. They could be a witness to those that were around them, just as we can today. Corinth was given to idolatry. It was given to prosperity. It was a place where there was a giant temple, as it were, that was filled with wickedness, as it were. There was a giant statue of the goddess Aphrodite. And these 500,000 people, as it were, who were in Corinth, followed after all of these things. But God had saved the people of this church. He had filled their heart with the Holy Spirit. They had listened to the Word of God. They wanted to follow God, and Paul was encouraging them to do that. Amen. So when they looked around, even in the Word of God, Brother Ralph, you look at the things that Paul addresses. There was division in the church. There was incest in the church, unimaginable. There were marriage issues. There was the mockery of preaching. There was the fornication. There were the things that exist in the world today. And yet Paul looked at them and said, you can't imagine how good God loves you. Amen. We can't put our eyes on the things that are around this world. We can't listen to the things of this world. We can't listen to try to understand the things of this world and neglect the grace that God has given to each one of us. There is such amazing simplicity in this message that Paul had given to them. He wrote to them from the words of Isaiah, and he said that eye hath not seen the things that God has prepared for us. I've been very blessed in my life, and I say that openly, in that I've had a chance to go to a lot of interesting places. And some of you too have too. I mean, some of you through the circumstances of work or through assignments you've had or that type thing. And I begin to look at the world around us today, and I think what an amazing place it is. Very diverse. And Brother Rose, when I think about all that God has created, that I've been able to see here on this earth, it just makes me love him that much more. I look towards heaven with great amazement, thinking, how could God create such a diverse planet? so many different types of vegetation and wildlife, and you know, this ocean's blue and that one's green and all that kind of stuff. But you know, my eyes have never seen anything that give me even the smallest glimpse of what God himself is like and what he has prepared for us. We look at the things we can see, and they give us confidence. But what about the things that we can't see? When we walk by faith and when we think about how God has been so good to us, I look around, and yes, it's easy to get discouraged, but when we look to the cross of Calvary and we think about how Jesus was perfect and how he was committed and how he was righteous in every way, how he was exemplary, how he was kind, how he was considerate of the least of them. You don't see that in the world around us today, but you can see it with your eyes when you look into the Word of God. God has been so good to us that we can't judge we can't limit what he's done. We can't judge his caring by the world that we see around us today. Very simply, we cannot begin to understand what it is that God's done for us. When we read these verses, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him," don't we often automatically want to apply that to the life after this life? We really do. A lot of times we see that, Brother Wayne, and we'll think about what God has laid up for us in heaven. We do. We think about that. We think about, well, God's prepared these things. And that's true. Jesus spoke to his disciples at a point when they were greatly discouraged in life. He told them he was going to go away, and he explained to them, though, he said, "I go to my Father's house, and there I prepare a mansion," and I'm paraphrasing, but he tried to encourage these men, saying, there's something greater beyond this life than you can see right now. There's something greater beyond this life than we can see right now. I thank God that we've got so much to look forward to when we get to heaven. I sat with a friend here this week, and we were watching an activity, and we were talking about something, and he made a very powerful statement, Brother Gary. He said, knowing God, he said, I think about how much better it would go on sometimes than to be here and to face, you know, the great challenges of life. If you're a child of God, that's true. Now, we're not in a hurry to get to heaven, but we're not afraid to go there either. The best day that a lost man will ever have upon this earth will be the best day they ever have. The worst day that the child of God ever has upon this earth will be something that you'll never remember on the other side. We look at these words and we read these words that I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, and we apply those to the things that are on the other side. Heaven is going to be such a great place. We talk about the streets of gold, and we talk about the tremendous and tremendousness of it, and the angelic choir, and the gates of pearl. We talk about all these things, but I tell you, heaven is not a destination, and it's not an experience. It's a place where we're going to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that gave his life to buy our pardon from sin. And I think about how great that is, what God has waiting for us on the other side. I look forward to those days when we might worship Christ in spirit and truth, where he would be the only focus of our time for eternity, and the satisfaction that we'll have from true worship of the Son of God. But I also think about how God has chosen for us to apply these words that we've not seen, we've not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, how they apply to this life. You know that God wants us to have a great life here. We think about our children sometimes. We think about our spouses, and we think about the things that we want to do for those that we love, those that we care for. And sure, we want them to have everything that we possibly can give them. I think that God wants us to have that here on this earth too, as long as it doesn't ruin us. God wants to protect us when we are most vulnerable. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you think you're going to be more vulnerable to discouragement, to being defeated, to being challenged by the devil here on this earth? because it won't happen in heaven. So the good things that God has planned for us, those things that are beyond our understanding, they're here on this earth, as well as the great things that lie beyond for us. I think about how God has given us so much here upon this earth. He's given us the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, which leads us and guides us in all truth and gives us the understanding of God's Scripture, as it were. I think about the salvation that Jesus Christ bought for us. I think about the goodness of God. And when I think about the second part of this ninth verse, it says, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the understanding of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I started this evening by asking if you would say amen if you were saved, if you love the Lord, if you felt blessed. You know, I think that God revels in the fact that we love him and we show that. Amen? Now, I know it's a difficult world we live in sometimes, and people want to make it awkward if you love the Lord, and they sometimes want to make an issue out of that. But I'm telling you, we ought not to be ashamed of the one who went to the cross of Calvary for our sins. I told this story a while ago, and you'll forgive me if I tell it again, but it just always stuck with me that I was in a meeting probably about 2 or 3 years ago, and there was some writing on a chalkboard that was there, and there was a comment that was made, and someone said something about a thing that I didn't think was proper, and I asked the question, Brother Gary, I said, so when are we going to have church? They were talking about, you know, they get together for drinks or whatever. I said, well, when are we going to have church? And the person looked at me and said, Jesus freak. I said, no, I'm a Jesus super freak. And I stood on that, Brother Rose, and I don't have any issues with it. I'm telling you the truth, which is you ought to be what you're going to be. And God wants us to demonstrate our love towards him. We're not expected to be obnoxious and those type things. But Paul was talking to this church at Corinth, and he was saying, look, people are going to know who you are. You're not going to go to this pagan worship center and, you know, and be involved with these difficult women and all that kind of stuff. You're not going to go be involved with these wicked things. Paul said they're going to know you for what you love. You ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to love God. We ought to do it in the world around us today. I know that the church may not be the vast majority, and we are in the minority, I believe, when it comes to the entire population of the earth. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to find brothers and sisters in Christ everywhere you go. And those that love him, you're going to figure it out real quick. So I think about what God has done, what God hath prepared for them that love him. I made just a couple of few notes here, and I won't be much longer, I promise, but some of the preparations, what do those look like? Well, first of all, you think about the word prepare. What does it mean? I always like to look at the definition of words. The simple definition is to make ready, that God has done something that has made these things ready in our life. And the first one I would tell you tonight, right now tonight, is the good news of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Miss Tita mentioned earlier, Andrew, who'd come to the altar and gotten saved there a few weeks ago. We had the chance to shake his hand, had the chance to talk with him. Isn't it amazing that God is still saving, Brother Wayne, men in the jail ministry? One got saved this week. I think it was one or two got saved last week. Still touching hearts and changing lives and drawing people into him. Andrew was one. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever known the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can go back to a time in your life tonight where your life was changed. I think about 2018. I think about 2017. But 2018, how many people had gotten saved even within this church? Wonderful people. They had all the earmarks. They had all the visible characteristics of a true child of God, but it had never been personal inside their heart. God hath prepared for us a way that through the forgiveness of sins, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we might know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can be saved, that we are saved. And more than anything on this earth, you need to know that you have life eternal. I was thinking about, as I was preparing for this, I didn't have a lot of time to kind of pull the message together, and you forgive me for that. I hope the Lord will bring everything he has in mind. But I thought of a situation that we had when we were at Still Creek. It was just a year or two before I stepped down at the church. And there was a family that had been associated with the church, and there was a point, Brother Gary, at which a young lady started coming with one of the young men, and they were both in their mid-20s, I guess, and they were living together. They were not husband and wife. And she got saved. Brother John Craddock was preaching. He came in to do revival for us, and this young lady got saved. She came to me, and she said, I'd like to be baptized. And I explained to her, and you all may not agree with me. I wouldn't think anybody would disagree. But I explained to her, I said, I really can't baptize you. According to the Word of God, you need to be married. You need to stop the relationship you have with this young man. By the way, Brother Rose, that didn't set real well with him. But he was, he was considerate of his significant other there, knew that she wanted to be baptized. They got married. We baptized her. And I'm using that as an example that when you get saved, you ought to be willing to make the choices that will help you follow and align with the Word of God. Is that true? Amen. And I think about how the God has prepared the gospel messages that go out. As we come to church on Sunday mornings, I see the little church vans out running around, and you can turn on the radio and you hear good preaching. And I think about Brother Coulter preaching on the radio, preaching in the churches where he goes. God has prepared the message of salvation. Who could have seen something like that? Who could have thought about hearing something like that? Who could have understood that God would call men, and he calls women to be in the ministry and in areas as well, but would call people to go and present the gospel to the elderly, to the young, to the children, to the young adults, that they might be saved. God has prepared for us a glorious salvation. The second thing I would tell you that I think that God hath prepared for them that love him is joy. J-O-Y. We sing about joy, particularly at Christmas. We look towards the idea of joy. Unfortunately, sometimes the circumstances of life, they get in our way. But when you think about joy, God wanted us to really have a life that was exemplified by pleasantness and by a positive attitude, a positive reflection of life. Is that easy? No, it's not easy. A lot of times, it just seems like it's so difficult to follow God and to be that shining witness that he wants us to be, because life can be difficult. The car breaks down. You get sick. Someone that you care about is hurt. Something that is significant to you is damaged. Things don't go your way. And if we're not careful, what will we do? We'll let the devil walk in, and he will steal our joy. I think about how the Lord Jesus Christ was an example in all things. How even as he prepared to go to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of this world, I don't think he went there with great happiness that he was going to be tortured and abused and ridiculed and mocked and all of these vile and wicked things were going to be there. But to the very last, he was kind. He recognized what his sacrifice would do for the course of humanity. And I think that one of the greatest things that we can have here on this earth as a Christian is our testimony of joy, of looking in faith to the things that we know that only God can do for us. He's so good to us. He loves us so much. And I think about his word that he's given us, these 66 books, that we might recognize that he's a Savior, that he's a God who created us in his amazing image. And he's given us these reflections of all these things he's done with different people, of the diverse and the incredible circumstances they had, the men that were in the fire, the deliverance from the flood, the wall of fire that stood between the enemy and the children, the Hebrew children. And I think about how good God has been to us all things. He wants us to look to him and say, God, you can take care of me regardless of the circumstances of life that are well beyond my ability to address. The third thing I would tell you is a little different from joy. It sounds like it, but it's not. And it's peace. Now, when we think about peace, The definition I would give you, very simple, this is from Steve's definition, is peace is that we are able to understand and deal with and manage the circumstances that have come to us in life. When I first came to the church, which was, I stepped down almost 4 years ago, and I've been here with you all about 3.5 years. I'm sure it seems longer to some of you. But when I first came in, I sat down with Brother Vinoy, and he's a very, very intuitive gentleman. He understood that I love my people, Brother Gary, I did at the church, but I'd just come to the end. I mean, I was just shaking, you know. I was just, and they were so good to me, and we love them so dearly, and still stay in touch. There was nothing bad about that. But we'd come to the point where we were overwhelmed. And as I came in, Brother Vinoy said, Brother Brian just brought a great Sunday school lesson on people who get overwhelmed. It can happen to any of us, can't it? Through the best of circumstances, if we're not careful, we'll let the circumstances of life just overtake us. But Jesus has come and told us, I can take care of you. There's a little devotion that I keep on my desk. I like to read it every morning. If I'm in the office, I travel a lot, so I don't always get to. But often, Brother Ralph, it talks about the peace that we can have when we transfer what we think is our responsibility to our Heavenly Father. You know, the Bible tells us that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The Bible tells us that through the power of His spoken voice, everything that we can see and touch and imagine was created. The Bible tells us that through the power of one angel, the tide was turned in entire, you know, military conflicts. If God's that good, and let me go back to this, and it says, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Then why can't we live in peace? Why can't we live with the understanding that, you know, hey, we're going to have trouble here on this earth, but God's going to take care of it. He may work it out through a circumstance that would be different than what we might choose, but He's got this. I think about the fifth thing I've given you here, which is the sufficiency of God. He's given us salvation. He's given us joy. He's given us peace. And God has given us the promise that all things He will provide. I like the word that Paul gave here to this church at Corinth. He said, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them. When I think about the heart of man, I'm thinking about our natural ability as people to want to understand just how does that work. So I had an opportunity today to exchange text messages with a very nice, wonderful young man. And he was giving me a report on the inventory that we had here at the church for the C52 program. And he said, Steve, here's what we've got, and here's what we're going to need. And he said, guess what? We got everything covered this month, plus more. Now, that may not seem like a big thing to y'all, but I texted him back. I said, it's like the widow's meal barrel. God can take a little, and He can make it a lot. He can take something that is just a mustard seed and grow it into a great foundation. Folks, I tell you what, God is able. He wants to be able to do those things for us in life that we need done for ourselves. I think sometimes we try to figure things out so much that we destroy our peace, we destroy our joy, we want to almost take away from God the sufficiency that He wants to supply to us because we got to try to figure this thing out. But Paul spoke to these people. He said, listen, you're surrounded by wickedness, you're surrounded by idolatry, you're surrounded by fornicators and all of this terrible things. But if you look to your Heavenly Father, He'll work things out. I thank God for the preparations that He's given us here in this life. I got a couple more, but for the sake of time, I won't go forward. But I think God gives us a purpose. He gives us something beneficial to accomplish for His glory. And I want to give you this last one, and then we'll close. Here we are. We're right at the course of Valentine's Day. Tomorrow, by the way, hint, guys, cards and flowers. it's your life. I'll let you figure it out, you know. But cards, flowers, candy, you know, gift cards, those type things. But this is the time of year, that season of love, when we show love one towards another, right? Isn't it amazing how the Bible says that God created us in his image? And quite frankly, I'm not sure that we look a lot like God. I tell you, most of the time we don't act like God, but I think in the purity and the righteousness that he would pursue. But I tell you what, the Bible talks about his desire to have fellowship with Adam. And even when Christ, here in human form, as a man on the earth, he prayed and he wanted to have that time, you know, of fellowship with God. I think that love is a real important aspect of our life. I really do. And I think it's one of the things that God really did put inside of us is a great value and a great benefit from the interactions and from the relationships that we have. And I think that God, at this time of year, this day particularly, maybe calls our attention to the fact that God has given us some great relationships. Amen? I appreciate Pastor Vinoy. I've known him for about, you know, 3.5 years, right? But he's a dear part of my life. My wife and I should be married 34 years. She's not here, so if my math's off a little bit, don't tell. She won't listen to this anyways. But I think about our daughter, Chloe, who was born, she'll soon be 16 years ago, our sons, Logan and Cody. Think about my mom, who's gone on to be with the Lord in heaven. I think about my grandmother, who's 96 years old, and when I go see her, Brother Gary, she talks about Jesus. She talks about loving God. And you know, I don't know if y'all like this, if your grandmother's 96, what have you. When I was about 2 years old, she'll ask me, Brother Wayne, she'll say, Steve, do you remember when you were 2 years old we used to go to that church? Well, the right answer is yes. Oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, I was 2 years old, so it really doesn't, that was a long time ago. But I'm telling you that she loves the Lord, and she loves me, and I love her. And this is a great time of year for us to remember the people around us that love us. God has given you somebody in your life that you're important to them, and that they're important to you. And I like this verse, and I won't go any further, but it says that God hath revealed them these things that he's prepared. He's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I hope that this message this evening has been a blessing to you. I don't know anybody's circumstance here, truthfully, except my own. But I can tell you this. It's easy to stand and look around and say, wow, it's bad out there. And by the way, my class will tell you I'm always very careful when it comes to the things of politics and what have you. I try to be always appropriate and discreet. But folks, as a nation, as a world, we're in a mess. It is really a mess out there. And again, please forgive me, but I told my wife, I said, you remember when there used to be a couple of years ago all those disturbances and there was this and these people were fussing about this and this city was in turmoil, what have you? She said, yeah. I said, apparently all those people learned to vote. Think about that. And that's where some of these folks are coming from. So anyways, don't shoot me for that. But I'm telling you that the world around us today is in a mess. But the church is doing great. And the children of God are loved with an unbreakable love that this world cannot destroy. The devil still wants to kill and to maim and to destroy. But Jesus is still saving souls. And he's still loving on everybody that'll let him. And God has still prepared a way for those that love him. Would you pray with me this evening? Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to stand here this evening. Lord, I thank you for just this church and the people of this church. Lord, this church isn't this building. And you've given this church a great building, a beautiful place on this hill. It's a testimony to your work and to the people that have labored here for so many years. But God, your church is sitting in these seats. And I'm glad, Lord, to be a small part of it, that you're still calling people out from the world around us today. You're still saving souls. Lord, you're still leading men and women in the path that you would have them to go. Lord, you're still amazing us that our eyes have not seen, nor our ears heard, neither hath it entered in, Lord, to our heart, to the understanding of man, those things that you want to do for us. God, I know that a lot of that lies on the other side of this life. And one day, perhaps, Lord, Brother Allen, sooner than some of the rest of us, he'll lay down this body of flesh and he'll enter into the reward that you have for him. No more difficulty, no more pain, no more anything that's negative, but all will be great in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, until that day, when we enter into the greatness of heaven, until we receive our reward, Lord, of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, until that day, Lord, we're still walking in a troubled world. We still have to deal with bills. We still have to deal with health that fails us. We still have to deal with problems and trouble. God, I thank you that we can look unto you and your promises that you've given us in your word, that you have great love for us. You didn't just save us and abandon us, but you saved us and you want to walk through us, with us through every good day, every difficult day of life. Help us to appreciate our salvation. Help us to have joy and to walk in peace. Lord, we thank you for the sufficiency that you're going to provide. And Lord, I thank you for the love that you've given us, the love we might have one for another. These are marks of a Christian life. Lord, I thank you for this congregation, the way they've listened tremendously tonight. And Lord, I would say, if there's somebody here, as unlikely as it seems, but Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that all through this message you've touched their heart and they have wrestled, Lord, with their permanent testimony, Lord, with their eternal destiny, I pray that they'll get saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, it's so simple to turn to you and to ask for the forgiveness of our sins. You stand so ready to welcome all those that would come unto you. If by chance there's one here tonight that's never settled their salvation, let them hear these words and understand that you love them before it's eternally too late. These things, Lord, we ask in your blessed name. Amen.